Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
All right, welcome back everyone to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast.
Woo!
I'm Matt Wolf. I'm here with my host, Joe Fear. And today we've got a really awesome guest, as all of our guests are awesome, but this one is especially awesome. He is a funnel and automation expert. He's, he's an Infusionsoft master, an automated webinar master. He's pretty much got automations and systems in his business down, and we can't be more excited to talk to him about this stuff. So we've got Drew Burks on the call with us today. Thanks for joining us, Drew.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. That's an awesome introduction there. I almost felt like I was in the wrong place there.
Well, I've learned a lot from you about automation over, you know, previous calls that we've had in the past. And, you know, I'm very, very excited to share some of that stuff with this new audience today.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to be here. So looking forward to sharing.
Cool. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. And let's talk a little bit about automated webinars. Can we let's take a big step back and just kind of look at what automated webinars are and give a quick explanation of what it is and what the benefits of doing one is?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think the benefits are you do it once and get paid for it over and over and over, right? You can play it, you know, 24/7 if you choose to. I mean, that's the number one thing is you do it once and it's done. Beyond that, we've found so many different uses for automated webinars. I think initially when I learned about it, the number one goal was a sales webinar to make money. But since over the last 2 years, we've found other ways to use it. So like we've created automated webinars to onboard employees.
Yes. My wife does the same thing, actually.
Yeah, there's ways to, you can onboard employees. You can use it as training courses for employees. There's just a lot of different ways to use it. Obviously, the most profitable that we have found is to sell something, and specifically to sell information. I suppose you could do it to sell tangible, but we've only done information. But that said, too, is I see a lot of people talking about webinars now, and I think there's this myth that, I just sit down or I do a live webinar and I record it and presto, I have an automated webinar. We never got that lucky. We actually found that it took us time, multiple revisions to sit in a closed room with good audio and record it and practice it and get it down before we actually rolled it out with live traffic. So.
Cool. Now, just for the two people that might be listening that don't know what a webinar is, would you mind just kind of quickly just giving a quick explanation of what just, not necessarily an automated webinar, but what a webinar is?
Right. Sure. Yeah. In most cases, and all the ones we've done and most of the ones I've seen, it's simply a PowerPoint presentation or a keynote presentation or even a Google Slides, but basically some type of presentation where you have slides similar to what you would picture if you were in a live event and someone was, on stage talking and using a PowerPoint. So it's a presentation and then you use some type of screen recorder to talk through the mic or your headset, and so the computer records out audio and it records the screen, and so the recorded version of that is you have this presentation where your screen is recorded but also has the audio.
Got it. Okay. So basically, an automated webinar is a traditional webinar, you're doing it live. So you would be sitting there, there'd be 50 attendees, 100 attendees sitting there, you'd be presenting to them these slides live. An automated webinar, it has that same feel from the attendees' perspective, but what they're actually seeing is pre-recorded.
Absolutely. And the advantages to live are, of course, is it's engaging, very much like we're having a back and forth and a dialogue now. So I like live webinars for that. But in an automated one, there are ways to do it and script it so that it comes across live and not the cheesy kind where people will just say it's live when it's really not live.
People are a little smarter, they know that trick.
We're really careful never to say, hey, this is live, because we know as soon as you say that, people aren't dumb. They figure out it's not live. Then you have no integrity. You have no integrity left. But what we've done successfully is, we almost always do them live first so that we can get real names and real questions. And then what we'll do is we'll weave those questions back into the recording.
Right.
So that it has that feeling that this is happening real. And then what we like to do is there are systems will automate this. We didn't actually use one to automate this, but when people type in the questions while it's recorded, we would collect those questions. And then we actually re-recorded our webinar, our main webinar, 7 different times to incorporate new questions that had come in over the first few months.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I was actually just about to ask, how many times does it, I guess for someone starting out with a fresh webinar, for you on average, does it take you a certain number of times to kind of perfect and get the conversions you're looking for? Or is it just kind of always doing something new?
You know what, fresh? What we have found, and we've done this with probably 4 dozen people, maybe 5 dozen people, more than I would like to admit. And what we found is some people are just able to make an offer that converts. And some people, no matter how many times they try, they just can't convert.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it comes down to like you can sell or not sell.
Or the product is junk or not junk.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know that that's necessarily the case, right? Because if you would only know that after you bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like if I'm selling you something now, the product might be junk, but if I'm a good salesperson, you might still buy it. Now, you might refund later if it's junk, but that's kind of down the road.
Yeah, because you're really aiming for that conversion, that front end, whatever you can do on that webinar. That's awesome.
You know, Dan Kennedy, I heard him say, I was listening to him speak in Anaheim a few years ago, and someone asked him, they said, Dan, how can you realistically collect $1 million for writing a single sales letter? Like, how's that possible? And I'll never forget what he said. He goes, you won't believe me if I tell you. And the whole room was like, no, please tell us. And he said, I say it with a straight face. And it was amazing if you think about it, because a lot of people will get to the offer at that point in the web, and their voice will start to quiver, start to stutter. You just have to practice that part and be able to go through it and say, this is what I have. This is how great it's going to be. This is how your life's going to be after it. And this is the price. If you stutter.
Yeah. And I mean, that's got to be the sort of benefit of doing these automated webinars is you can, you know, you could keep the sort of content portion of a webinar steady and re-record the pitch as many times as you want until it starts converting, I suppose.
And that's a great tip too, Matt. I don't know that a lot of people are aware of that, but if you record the webinar in chunks, so to speak, then you can do that. You can basically, almost like we would split test a web page.
Right. Yeah, you could split test chunks.
Yeah, you could just say this webinar, the first half, the content's the same, but I have offer A, and then do it again, and here's offer B. And then you could play those simultaneously and see which ones convert better.
Right. Now, I want to ask you this. There's a lot of stuff out there about actually like closing on a webinar. I've probably owned 6 different courses on webinars and how to present, and most of them focus on the actual close, the pitch. Do you think that the actual content portion is just as important? And are there stuffs that, you know, various things you can do during the content that are going to help you close during the actual pitch?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I've bought all the webinar products out there, right? I've almost everyone. I'm sure there's one I haven't bought, but I've spent more money than I would like to admit to publicly on buying webinar courses. And I think the magic sauce really is in being able to, as a friend of mine used to tell me, is to be able to say a lot and say nothing. And what I mean is, like, the mistake I used to make, and sometimes I still make, is I give away too much.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go back and ask people, hey, why didn't you buy? I almost always hear, like, well, you gave us so much we didn't need to buy.
Oh, right. 100%. My webinars in the past have had that exact same issue.
I was going to say, Matt, yeah, you've taught so much. So Matt's a great teacher, but when it got to the selling, you know, it was almost like, eh, well, I already got something to work with.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I had strong closes. I followed a lot of the formulas and that sort of thing. But I think some of the issues I've had with webinars in the past were exactly that. I would teach so much during the webinar that by the time I got to the close, people were like, oh, that seems like a great offer, but man, I've got enough to work with right here already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's tough because, you know, like I know you and I know that you're, you know, you are giving and you'll share and you like to teach. And to me, that you know, is a struggle to overcome because I'm a lot like that too. And so I think there's a lot of people out there that they're doing what they do because they just genuinely want to share, right? They're passionate about helping people, and sales is something that, you know, makes a lot of people uncomfortable. So they think, well, I'll just get on here and give, because we've kind of been trained to like give free stuff, you know, like the freemium model, just give, and people will buy. But that doesn't always translate that way in a webinar. You get 100 people on there, 1,000 people on there, and the action takers are going to say, man, you just gave me so much, I can just go and take action on this now. I don't, why would I buy the course?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it too. I've seen a lot of webinars, you know, a lot of other marketers out there don't really share their numbers openly, but I've seen a lot of webinars where people have told me these webinars just sell amazingly. Mm-hmm. These are some of the best converting webinars I've ever seen. And usually the common denominator between those webinars is, they get you really, really excited about the concepts, but they don't teach you pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So I've heard it said they teach you that what you should do and why you should do it, but they don't teach you any of the how.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's sort of, I guess, something that, you know, just from my own perspective, you know, I'm doing these podcasts, I'm educating myself on how to get better at some of these things. So I guess from my own perspective, that's something I need to do a little bit. And, you know, I kind of hate to say it publicly, but I think when I do some of these training webinars, I need to teach less tactics, how to stuff, and actually back off and kind of tell, you know, kind of explain what they need to do without getting into the details of how to do any of it.
Right.
Yeah, and it's hard though, because you know, like, again, I know you, like everything I know about you is you really just want to teach me, but you know, you also want to make money, you're a business, and that's, I still struggle with that sometimes. I mean, I talk to a lot of people, I do a lot of like free consultations, and when I'm doing it, I'll catch myself like, you should shut up and sell.
Yep, yep.
But I just enjoy like the helping aspect, so.
Well, there's
probably... why I don't have 10 webinars making millions of dollars every day like I should.
Right. And there's probably a way that you can do this, get away with it, if you sell something that could be a lead into your moneymaker itself. Like, so maybe it's a loss leader type product in the front end.
Well, it's a problem solution model, right?
Exactly.
You know, here's the problem. Here, I'm going to give you the solution free, and that solution is going to lead you to, you know, the next problem or that gap.
Or a tripwire product, something for, right. Yeah, for $50 even, if you want to go that high. And then it sells into a $1,000 course after, where it's kind of taking it a full step further, or maybe the next step in the whole process. So I guess what my question is, because it sounds like you automate a lot of stuff, and I know you do a lot of email automation as well. Is this something that, say, if we're starting fresh, you know, someone who has a business, but maybe they haven't really stepped into actually trying to sell with webinars or email automation, how would they go about starting that first step to get into it?
Yeah, that really is more than webinars right now is, you know, what I do is I automate things, and I automate two types of things. Like, usually like more of a traditional business will call me and say, I've heard about automation. Here's what my business looks like. How can I automate it? And then the other type is people will come to me and they're smart marketers, right? They're people like, I would like to think we all are. And they'll say, hey, here's what we're doing, and we're using these pieces. And often it'll be a hodgepodge of different systems. How do we put it all under kind of one system and automate it? And that's kind of really what I love doing is taking those things and figuring out how to automate it. Regardless of which option it is, I think the starting place is to figure out first what your systems and processes are, right? Whether you're selling lemonade on the corner or you're selling, you know, digital training products, is what's my system or what's my processes? Or I like to think about in terms of desired paths. So my goal is to create a webinar that's going to sell this widget. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, okay, great. Well, if I'm going to create that webinar, and Six Division guys, the guys over at Six Division, I heard them say, so I want to give them credit. They talk about the Lego principle. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has kids on, you know, is listening, they will know this, is if you go buy Legos, you look at the box and it might say 400 pieces. You're going to build a Starship Warrior. And you're like, as a parent, you're like, I can't build that. But what happens is you open a box and inside that box, there's not one bag with 1,000 pieces. There's a bag that has a big number one on it, and a bag that has a big number two on it, and a bag that has a big number three. And so they've used, you know, like modular thinking, right? So they say, okay, in bag one, here's the 50 pieces you need, and here's the instructions for this piece. So I've taken that process to everything I do from automation. I'll say, okay, what's the path? Okay, you want to build a webinar and it's going to sell this product. Okay, great. How are we going to get people to the webinar? Let's look at the systems and processes for that. We're going to run ads. We're going to do a blog post. We're going to do emails. We're going to do text message, whatever we're going to do. And I'll chunk that down just like Lego. I'll say, okay, well, then we need emails. We need a text system. We need an opt-in page. And I'll look at everything we need just for the front end of that.
Got it. Okay.
And then I'll say, okay, great. How are we going to get people to the webinar? Right? So that would be like bag number two. There's all the reminders, the indoctrination, and the rapport building, all the storytelling we're going to do to make sure people show up. And on our webinars, we typically average between 40 on the low end, 42% to 65% show up rate. And so we'll do that. And then we get to the webinar. So, okay, great. Well, what's the systems and process for making this happen? Here's the content. Here's the photos. Here's kind of the storyboard for that. And then the same thing after that. What's the desired? Well, we want them to buy. Well, here's what's going to happen to do that. And we just break everything down. So we take the big vision, the big map, break it down into very, you know, like chunks or modules, and then clearly identify the systems and processes within each one of those little modules. And then from that, it becomes very easy to automate it, regardless of whether you're using MailChimp, Aweber, Infusionsoft, Entreport, ActiveCampaign, doesn't really matter.
That seems so simple. Like what you just lined out right there, someone could literally take notes and like, boom, there's your template to just get something started, you know, anything.
And I'll simplify that even more is if you took a sheet of paper and you just, you know, like a lot of people will use this example, but I'll modify it a little bit. If you drew a line from left to right, and on the left is starting point, at the very end on the right would be the desired path. That's what you want someone to do. The part that where automation is brilliant is the detours. What happens if they don't do that? What happens if they opt in but they don't attend? What happens if they attend and they don't buy? What happens if they attend and leave early? That's where automation can really make people a ton of money and save them a tremendous amount of time.
And that makes sense because when starting out, really, if you're using simple manual systems, if you don't have a follow-up system with triggers and all these kind of what-if type options, really you have one path. Maybe you have a couple that you might have set up, but really you're really trying to push people one way. Whereas the game you're playing and the game we all play, you know, smarter marketers, we're giving them options. We're going to let them flow where they want to flow. And we're going to be prepared to catch them in these little buckets that probably ultimately push them into somewhere where we really, you know, want them to go, but it might take them a little longer.
Yeah. We've identified, you know, when you map it out and build it, you can kind of lead the, you know, they're the yellow brick roads. You can lead them to where you want them to go. But people are going to do what they do naturally anyway. And I just talked to a person the other day, it was just starting out, and they said, man, I don't really have the budget or maybe the knowledge to build this out, and I can't really hire someone. What should I do? And I said, well, you have your website. You're already spending ads. Why don't you just pay attention to what's happening, right? So if you spent $100 on ads today, see how many clicks you got. And then even if you jot it down on paper, and then how many people opted into your MailChimp or filled out your calendar schedule, and just start tracking what happens and keep notes. And then, you know, so you got three people to talk to. What'd you talk to them about? And someone signed up. Fantastic. What'd you do? Well, you send them an order form. They didn't sign up. They need more time. That's another really great way for people who are just starting out to really build their system and processes.
I love that because it makes it so simple. And I know we've worked with many clients, and some starting out, they've had some budget, you know, a good amount of budget to hire us and build out a big funnel. A lot of them, once that funnel is done, they, you know, we give them like, hey, go focus on Facebook ads. And then pretty much what you just said, just grow your email list, focus on those metrics, optimize those, make sure they're, you know, pushing them into your funnel. But it always creeps up a couple days later, like, oh, so I read about these YouTube ads I could do, or Twitter, or like social, I'm like, what do you think of this? I'm like, back, put the blinders on, man.
Yeah, I know,
go back to basics. And I think that's where most people, I mean, that's business owners in general, mm-hmm. who work with successful people, agencies, and they're constantly like, oh, what about this idea, this idea? I'm like, no, dude, stop. Yeah, focus.
Yeah, see, one thing to I was saying, it was James Wedmore, I think, mm-hmm. if you guys know that guy. Oh, yeah. He had a really great image on one of his product launches recently, and he said he had two islands. And it was so perfect for what you're talking about. He said, look, on this island, this is where you're at, and this island over here on the right is where you want to be. And he said, so you decide you're going to have your plan, like that line I just talked about. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's going to be webinars. He said, but then tomorrow you're like, you hear about YouTube. And so you start doing YouTube stuff. And then next week you hear Instagram. And mm-hmm. he said, what happened? You're left with like 12 different attempts to get across to that other island.
Right.
But none mm-hmm. of them have made it all the way across.
And there was another analogy, Matt, maybe you remember his name.
Carl White.
There it is, the bridge analogy.
Yeah, same exact concept.
Yep. Just finish that bridge and then go to your next one. Stop building incomplete. Yeah.
Now, Carl, is that the, he's from the mortgage industry, right?
I know he did a lot of lead generation.
Yeah, I think he was like a big coach or something in the mortgage space, because that name sounds super familiar from my past life as a real estate agent.
Could be. But either way, yeah, you're spot on.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to automated webinars, you know, you'll probably notice that I'm more of like the tactical mind. I'm sitting here trying to think of like the actual tactics and step by steps and stuff like that. But sure. I'm curious, when you do have an automated webinar set up, is it mostly Facebook ads that you're using to drive that traffic?
That's all we used.
And yeah, when you do Facebook ads, I'm just curious about the process that you might go through to find potential targets to target too. Because I know when it comes to Facebook ads, they're not really that complicated to run, but it's pretty complicated to figure out the perfect target to get people to your webinars.
That's really what we found is, number one, we found that what's true today on Facebook ads isn't necessarily going to be true tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is, we would have campaigns and, you know, we ran for one specific webinar, we ran ads consistently from September 2014 to June of 2016.
Wow.
And we spent on average about $30,000 to $40,000 a month on those ads, mm-hmm. you know, for 22 months. And we would have a campaign that might work brilliantly for a month. And then it might have 3 days where costs were three times higher. No rhyme or reason. We found specifically the audience network was typically bad. We didn't like to use that. But I can tell you that the for those ads where we found the most success was with that high relevance score, and that sometimes was as ridiculous as changing, you know, like just as an example, if that we might have an ad set with the age set from, you know, 30 to 55, mm-hmm. and we might change it from 30 to 60. And suddenly it's a better relevance score.
Hmm.
I mean, so little tweaks like that would sometimes make a big difference.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Cause I know that's kind of Matt's thing for our business, is he's all about the ads. I mean, he's playing with Facebook, Google, all that stuff, but
yeah,
that's the constant battle is let's figure out the right targeting. That's probably our number one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it comes down to that. And then, you know, the other thing, talking tactics, is we found that the ad copy has to match the copy on the opt-in page.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we had a lot of disconnect there too. And, you know, we learned a lot. Sometimes we'd get great clicks and then no opt-ins. And we just couldn't figure out why. It was like, why would people click on this ad? And it was never like apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the copy was just different enough. Yeah, and we have certainly, I can't tell you 100% that was the reason, but I can say when we made sure that the copy was very congruent, we didn't have those issues. Like sometimes we would just copy that copy right onto the landing page.
Yeah, it's kind of a comfort thing for people going from one step to another.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's something that I've done a lot with ads, is typically I'll make my, you know, my landing page first, obviously, before you ever make the ad. And then I'll go back, and as I'm creating the ad, I'm literally copying and pasting text straight from the landing page into the ad.
Yeah, it's something I've been experimenting with this week, is like just making sure like that the images are even the same, and then the color schemes are the same from the ad to the pages.
One thing I've done in the past, it was actually pretty effective, but you have to be careful with not having too much text on your page. But I've done stuff where I've created a landing page. I've literally taken a screenshot of the landing page and used that as my ad image.
That's pretty clever.
That is clever.
and you know, you can't get more relevant than that. The image they were just looking at is the page they land on afterwards.
That's a very good point.
I'm gonna borrow that one.
You should, yeah. Let us know how that goes.
I do want to change topics for a second. Did you have something you want to ask, Joe?
I had a quick question. So for this is kind of for myself, but I think anyone listening is... Do you ever experiment an automated webinar compared to a standalone sales page? Or do you have a reason for choosing one or the other?
Make sure I understand. Is the question, yeah, why do I use the webinar to sell versus more of just a copy sales page?
Exactly, yeah.
No, I think no one on my team is a quote-unquote copywriter, so the webinar seemed easier, probably. Mm-hmm. We did, though, test going from webinar to sales page versus webinar to order form. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting. We actually found that going to the order form, it was kind of a hybrid, like two or three paragraphs of copy and then the order form. We found that that converted better than going from webinar to sales page to order form.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is all just stuff I've heard, but I've heard a good way to do things is send them to an automated webinar. From the automated webinar, send them to a checkout like the one you kind of just described. And then, you know, 4 days down the road, if they haven't bought off the webinar, then start sending them directly to a sales page.
Right. Yeah. What we like to do in our some more tactic, I guess, is in the post webinar, we have a series of emails that go out. And if they haven't bought, we address objections. So usually we'll have 1 to 3 objection handling emails. So they'll handle the objection, give some testimonial, recap the offer and send them to the offer. Mm. And then after they haven't, if they still haven't bought, then we'll send them to like a countdown. Mm. And that countdown is based on the offer. So the one that worked really well for us is it was a 4-day offer. So then we'd have 4 emails that would go out. You know, you got 4 days, you got 3 days, you got 48 hours, you got 24 hours, last call.
Yep.
Cool.
I love it.
Yeah, there was one last thing I wanted to touch on, and this was something that when you were back on the Authority Insider podcast, you and I did an interview, you know, probably a year ago now, probably not that long ago, but anyway, you talked about a strategy of actually using YouTube videos to test a concept, and I just thought that was brilliant. So I wanted to hold some space on this podcast for you to kind of recap that process again.
Well, I will do my best. I'll have to go back to that podcast after this and see how accurate I was, because don't forget I'm getting old here. So, you know, I got 2 little kids. So sometimes last week seems like 10 years ago. no, but I think what I was telling you is that we like to do a lot of affiliate marketing. So we'll find products and niches that we want to market. And then in terms of like creating content, because we don't have the time to create the content or we don't want to take the time, is we can go find YouTube videos that are, you know, have a lot of views and promoting or talking about that product. And we can kind of put those videos on an opt-in page to create the initial content. And then when they get the opt-in, we can just redirect them right to the affiliate product. So it's just a way where it's on my to-do list, is I actually want to now take those ads and stick them into and attempt to use them as Facebook ads, even though they're not my videos. So I'm not sure if I'm in trouble for that or not, but
yeah. So basically the concept, is, and this is what I remember when we were chatting about it last time, was you would go and let's say you wanted to test the paleo niche, for example, and you wanted to start to build a list in paleo so you can promote affiliate products to them. You would create a squeeze page and say, hey, we've got an amazing paleo pizza recipe that we know you're going to love. Opt in to grab it, right? So you'd send them to an opt-in page for that. And then once they opted in, the page that they redirected to was just a YouTube video you found with an amazing paleo pizza recipe on it. And you would drive traffic to that opt-in. Build a list off of that.
Yeah, no, I get that. So we actually just did, I did something like that similar just recently where I put up an opt-in page that said best free funnel training. Mm-hmm. And then I did that same thing. I went to YouTube and grabbed other people's really great training videos. Mm-hmm. And so they would opt in. And then on that page, I had five really great video trainings, which were other people. But I built the list.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Just what I'm telling you for the paleo. Yeah. So just a way to, you know, test offers. And if you get no offers, you get no opt-ins, and it's probably not a niche that, you know, I want to be in. So.
Well, it's brilliant. I mean, that's one of our upcoming EGP letter topics is all about product creation, rapid product creation, testing the market. And that's a perfect way to just run some cheaper traffic, not $100 or so. Mm-hmm. And you get a pretty good idea if there's going to be any interest in that market before we're doing much.
Right. I heard someone the other day say that they actually they took that concept to the next level. They were actually consolidating or curating and aggregating, I guess are the better words for it, free videos in their niche, and they put them in a membership site. And they were charging like $10 a month for it.
Wow.
And a lot of people were asking, like, oh, and people get upset. And they said, we've never had a complaint because people are, you know, it's such a minimal fee. Mm-hmm. And they saw it as more of a convenience fee.
Exactly. Yeah. You're basically saving their time. Like, hey, we're going to distill all this stuff for this topic for you.
Yeah. We actually share a strategy like that inside of our Evergreen Profits members area. And we're going to be talking about it in the newsletter that's coming up for February here, actually, of a very, very similar strategy of basically selling curated content, but doing it in a way where the people you're curating are happy about it and the people that are receiving the content are very happy about it. So there's definitely ways to do that and make sure everybody's happy with it. Mm-hmm. But on that note, we're about out of time for today's episode. Where can people go find out more about you?
Of course.
Pretty easy. They can just go to my website, which is my name, Drew Burks. That's DrewBurks.com.
Love it.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Awesome stuff. Some big takeaways on this one. I'm really, really, really happy with the stuff. So awesome. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, my man.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner, Joe Fear, every single week, we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools, and we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.